Hello and welcome to episode 112 of Gutter to Gutter podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Jasmine Green. Many of you might remember Jasmine joining us all the way back in episode 22. That was 90 episodes and almost 3 years ago. In this episode, we got to catch up with Jazzy and find out what she's been up to. And let me tell you, she has been busy. From completing her apprenticeship in motor trimming to starting work at Maskell's Customs and Classics, Jazzy is a non-stop powerhouse going from strength to strength. After a ton of work on her Hilux, which is awarded this year's Street Machine of the Year, she went on to undertake a Toyota Stout project that she mentioned when she was on the show last, and it is shaping up to be even more impressive. Without too much more waffling from me, I hope that you will enjoy this catch-up with Jasmine as much as I did, and I hope you will enjoy episode 112 of Gutter to Gutter podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Gutter to Gutter podcast. I'm Static, and in this episode we are joined by Jasmine Green. Jazzy, how are you?
Hey, it's good, thank you.
That's the way. It's good to finally catch up with you again. I think we've been talking about this for almost a year now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, it's good to be back on.
Yeah, well, and actually it turns out that it was 90 episodes ago that you were on with us.
Wow, exactly.
So that's... I couldn't tell you the date, but that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time, and you've been up to a lot in that time, I guess.
Yeah, a fair bit's happened, I guess you could say.
You could say that. So I guess for anyone that didn't listen way back in episode 22, for anyone that does want to go back and listen, episode 22 is when Jasmine was last on, but for anyone that hasn't listened to that or doesn't know who Jasmine Green is, give us a bit of a rundown, I guess, in your own words of who you are and what you do.
Right on the spot. I've built a Hilux that's green and it's done quite well recently. Work at Maskell's Customs and Classics. It's working on cars. I'm qualified as a trimmer there, but I do a bit of everything. Just like mini trucks. That's pretty much me.
I like that. I built a Hilux. It's just a Hilux. Yeah.
Well, it is.
Depends who you ask, I guess, huh?
It's I don't know.
It's a pretty well celebrated Hilux at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, last time we spoke, you just started motor trimming. You just started your trade course, I believe. So is that all finished now?
Yeah. So about this time last year, I finished that course. I was able to do it in 2 years, the apprenticeship, and pretty much ticked off every module whilst doing the area in my Hilux. So, yeah.
How good's that? So that was an apprenticeship, yeah?
Yeah, it was an apprenticeship. Yeah, so I'm qualified now as a trimmer.
Awesome. So was that like, I guess, did you kind of short course that or shorten that up with the work that you've done?
I did, yeah, because I was able to do everything, through doing my Hilux. I was able to actually get through it really quickly. Because it's auto and marine, I had to just quickly go through, the boat modules, which was really boring to me. But, I got through that as quick as I could and, try to be qualified as soon as possible because, apprenticeship wages suck and I hated going down to Chadstone in Melbourne, which is a 3-hour drive from me. Mm. So I'm glad that's over.
So I guess on the boat side of things, did you learn anything out of that that you didn't think you would or that's kind of helped you out at all?
Yeah, look, I learned how to do it, but I can't see myself doing the boat things. I mean, I think there's good money in boats, but it's just not where my passion lies, really.
Yeah, that's all right. We're not a boat podcast anyway, so that's pretty handy. Well, actually, we have had Brendan Totherow on who built the drift boat, so we kind of are.
Okay.
We kind of both now.
That's really cool. It's cool that you got through that fairly quickly. Is that meant to be like a 3-year apprenticeship? Is that?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 3 years. Yeah, but otherwise I would have just finished now. Like if I had done it for 3 years, and that would have been a bit much, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what was it like sort of getting through that? I guess obviously the 3-hour drive, not great, but.
Well, luckily it was week blocks, so I just go down there, stay with a friend or one of my mum's friends down there where I could. It was a bit painful being down there, really. Like, I just hated the traffic. I don't know how people can live in the city. It's just so stressful.
Yeah, so where was the TAFE?
In Chadstone.
Chadstone. So what's my Victorian geography is horrendous. Where in relation to the CBD, I guess, is that?
North-east-ish of Melbourne.
Right.
It's just a suburb, and it's just off the Monash Freeway, which I got to know really well. That road sucked. It was just like a traffic jam every time.
Awesome. Yeah. I know I went down there, went down that way for round two of the High Tech Drift All-Stars, and I kind of ended up in amongst the traffic at like 5 p.m., like 4:35 p.m., and I was told that was really bad traffic. If that was really bad traffic, I'd take that over Sydney, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, look, Sydney's not that great. I've driven through it a few times and, it's just, it's just hectic.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I'd definitely take that traffic over Sydney's any day of the week, so.
Yeah.
So getting through that course, was there anything, I guess, surprising that you picked up? Or were you kind of ready for just about everything that came at you from that course?
When I started my apprenticeship, it was during COVID times and I couldn't actually learn from anyone. Like my boss gave me an hour every morning just to look at YouTube and watch tutorial videos because I couldn't actually attend the trade school. So being there and working with my trade school teacher and other trimmers, I did pick up quite a bit. Just a lot of the core trimming, just things like that.
Yep. So you were enrolled in the class and it's going, air quotes, while you couldn't get there. Is that right? Is that what I just sort of picked up?
All via Skype.
Wow.
It was just a mess.
Wow.
We went through so many trade school teachers and, we had to redo the work twice for some of it, like a lot of the paperwork. Like they tried this online system and it was a nightmare in itself. So it was actually better to be at trade school in the end.
So even with all of that, you still got it done like a year ahead of time.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's unreal. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
That's really cool. So you've been able to take that now into your day job at Maskells, yeah?
Yeah. So I do trimming there and a bit of everything, really.
Yeah, and I guess last time we spoke as well, you just started at Maskells and you got that job through essentially the Laurie Starling Award, yeah?
I did, yeah. Yeah, winning that award has, opened a lot of opportunities for me, definitely.
That's really cool. So how long have you been there now? That'd be about 2 years,
I think,
essentially?
About 3 years.
Three.
I think.
Has it potentially could be that long?
It was sort of 2 years I did my apprenticeship, but I kind of went there unofficially, a random day during the week while I was working at the cafe.
Yep.
It might be 2.5, something like that.
Yep. Awesome. And what's that been like for you?
It's been good working with all sorts of different cars, that aren't just mini trucks. I've learnt a lot about, there's, plenty of Holdens like Monaros and Falcons and stuff like that come through and, kind of know a bit about them now. It's just been a good experience just learning different things.
Yep. Because I guess before you went in there, you'd had a fair amount of time playing with sheet metal and all that sort of stuff, building your own truck and all that sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, kind of. Just, what I'd done on my Hilux. Like, since I've been there, I've learned a hell of a lot more, really. Having more practice at the sheet metal work. Like, looking back, I feel like I've progressed quite a lot.
And has that kind of been what you expected it to be? Or have you kind of learnt more than you thought you might?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, I wanted to learn the trimming, which, yeah, I was able to do. But, yeah, I'm probably on, like, the sheet metal fab side of things, maybe, yeah, more than half the time compared to trimming. So, yeah, there's always things to learn.
Yeah, I guess when it comes to the trimming side of it, that's kind of comes in the end of the build, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So because it's sort of it's a shop that does complete builds from start to finish, you know, the trimming is only like a certain percent of the build, so there's not always trim work to be done. That's why I'm on the metal fab things. Yeah.
But I guess in saying that as well, there is a lot of metal fab that goes into sort of making your seats, your mounts and all of that sort of stuff beforehand, yeah?
There is, yeah. There's always fabrication involved. Yeah, that's why, you know, having that background and then being a trimmer has really helped me a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So what cars have you've worked on? You said like Monaros and Falcons and things like that.
Yeah. The first one that I did when I was in there was a HD Holden. It was actually the first interior that I finished. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I think it came out okay. Yeah, there's an XW in there at the moment. I made some inner guards and just 3D designed a console for it. And there's a 28 Tudor. I did the trim in that. Like, that was pretty cool to do. Like, just old school pleats and things like that. And at the moment, I'm working on a 73 Camaro, which is, it's pretty crazy, that one. Like, chopped up the quarters, made new quarters, so it's a bit wider. The front guards, made them the same. And, I'm putting modern tail lights in the back at the moment and making a new rear panel. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. So has everything been, like, a little more sort of a restoration up until sort of this build, or?
A lot of it is restoration, but, like, just rust repairs. And, like, they're a bit, I don't know, mind-numbing, but they're good practice. So, just welding and whatnot. But, no, there is actually quite a lot of custom work in there at the moment, which is good. Like, doing this Camaro is, pretty much as close as I can get to, a mini truck mod as possible. Like, I'm quite enjoying doing that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So the 3D stuff that you've been doing, like, we've seen little bits and pieces here and there that you've sort of, I guess, 3D modelled and then printed little bits and pieces for your interior and Michael's interior as well, your partner. Is that something that you kind of expected that you were going to get into, or did that sort of come out of nowhere? How did that start?
I don't really know how it started, to be honest. I think I just wanted to make little bits for my Hilux. I just wanted to have a go. Actually, no, I was in Melbourne at trade school and I was at the accommodation and, had nothing to do. So I just downloaded Fusion 360 and played around with it, and it kind of escalated from there. So, now I design things at work. I've got a console printing at the moment that's, I've only got the one printer, so it's taking, maybe a month.
Oh, wow.
I've had to print lots of little pieces, and then I'm going to, attach it all together. Do a bit of this and that. Like, sometimes 3D printing is just easier when you've got to make something that's really intricate. You've got to make multiple items, and flip them for the other side, like armrests and things like that. It's just a handy tool. Yep. And it goes hand in hand with trimming as well.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that you're making, you're printing off, and you're using the 3D print as a base to trim or something like that?
Yeah. So I'm printing in an ABS material, which is pretty much like Lego. Yep. So it holds up pretty well to heat. It's quite tricky to print compared to the basic ones, but it's pretty good. End use products and also prototyping as well. Just making things and then getting them CNC'd.
Yep. So is that something you kind of taught yourself to do?
Yeah. I haven't done any courses, just YouTube.
YouTube, the old YouTube tutorials. Right.
Yep.
How good is that? I swear there is nothing you can't learn off YouTube these days.
I don't think so, no. It's so handy.
I'd love to, I don't know how you do it, but I'd love to sort of sit there and find out if, It'd just be such a random thing, but to find out if there's something that's not covered on YouTube, a tutorial, you know, like one day just something comes in your head, oh, I need to know this, you look it up and it's not on there. I'd like to know what that is, because I'm positive that everything's on there.
Yeah, I think just about everything is. I can't say I've ever not been able to find something.
Yeah, that's really cool. So out of all the cars that you've worked on at Maskells at the moment, what's been your favourite to work on? Cat's going to say hi.
Yeah, the cat, sorry. Probably that 28 was pretty cool, just doing the trim in that, because it's got a rag top, so you can't run a bowed roof line, so I had to make all aluminium panels that attach around the roof and then trim them. That was really cool. And, yeah, definitely this Camaro that I'm doing at the moment.
Yep.
Just because it's so customised.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a good challenge.
Yep. So you're still enjoying the sheet metal work and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, I love sheet metal, really.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good fun. There's always so much to learn, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you get to work on these projects sort of start to finish?
Yeah, they come into the shop, you know, to finish. So, sorry, the cat just touched. what was the question again?
The cars that come in, you get to work on those start to finish?
Yeah, pretty much so. There's other workers there, so we each have our certain areas. You know, the paint guys do the paint and, yeah. But otherwise, yeah,
yep.
See them.
Is that something you'd be interested in getting into or looking to get into, like the paint and bodywork side of things?
Oh, look, I only paint out of necessity. I hate sanding so much. Like, every time I paint something, I swear I forget that, like, how much I actually hated it. And then, as soon as I get into it, I'm like, oh, why did I do this? look, only if I had to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's a quiet month or something in the shop. You've only got the one car in, and it's got to go to paint. That's about the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing the painting. There's a paint guy there, and a panel beater does all the bodywork and stuff. So, I think I'm free.
Safe from that one. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. So, what's your favorite part of working there? Like, what's, I guess, day to day sort of stuff. What do you really enjoy?
I do like just being in the trim room and just doing my own thing. Like, I actually just, listen to podcasts because, you know, it's the own room, like there's no one else in there. So it is good just getting things done. I do enjoy the 3D design. You know, sometimes it's nice, especially in winter, just to go in and just do, design things on the computer. But, I do love the metal fab as well. I don't know, I like those three things, really.
Yeah. No, that's good. So we also spoke of Chaos. Now, the last time that we did speak, last time you were on, you were speaking about having to repaint the bonnet because you weren't happy with that. Now, I'm pretty sure since then you've actually repainted almost the whole car twice. Almost, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I can't even remember what was wrong with the bonnet. I think I've painted it that many times since. But, before Summer Nats, I wanted to freshen it up, you know, because I'd been driving it so much. I think it had a few stone chips and things in the bonnet, and I had, like, a little dint in the roof from, a cover flying off. I painted it for Summer Nats, and then I had to touch up a few panels, you know, just from driving it. So maybe a third of it's been repainted again since then.
Yep.
Actually, the other week when I was in Sydney, because I had the trailer on the back trying to get into a park, I actually scuffed the bumper on the gutter. So now I've got to repaint that. But that's okay. Just a bumper.
Yeah.
Look, I hate paint, but I seem to do it a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The really cool thing is, though, that thing gets driven everywhere. Like, you literally do drive the wheels off it.
Yeah. Yeah, and buckle them too.
Yeah, quite literally. You buckled them on the way to East Coast Cruise last year, I believe it was.
Yeah, I swerved a pothole to hit another pothole.
That's good. Did you hit the bigger one or the smaller one?
Yeah.
The big one? The one? Yeah.
And, I'm really over billets now. Like, I love the look of the truck on billets. But, I just ordered a set of Detroit Steelies. from the States. So they're over at Tingod Solutions at the moment. I'm getting the offsets changed so they fit.
Yep.
So I'll be painting them soon and chucking them on.
Awesome.
And just saving the billets for special occasions, I think.
Yep. Carry them around with you.
Yeah.
That's good. So is it finished?
Kind of. For now, yeah. Like, once I paint those wheels, yeah. But look, later down the track, I do have more plans for it. Like, there's always things I'm not happy with. I mean, I think that's why I kept chopping it up, just because, you know, something doesn't look right and it just really annoys me. And then I just, yeah, change it. So I've sort of got a list in my head of everything that I want to do already. But I'm waiting until the stout that I'm working on now is fairly progressed or finished, and then I'll re-attack later on.
Yep. So what is there, what is on that list, at least in your head, what is there to do?
Oh, gosh. Just a few design things that I don't like. Like, I don't know, ages ago, one of the first things I did was shaving the door handles in the back. And I don't know, it just had always been like that. And then I hated shaved door handles because, you know, they're a bit impractical. So I left the ones in the front, but it just annoys me how there's door handles in the front and there isn't any in the back. Like, I kind of want to add door handles back in the back or shave the front. I don't know. But that's one thing. I don't know. The tub floor has, like, sort of a sharp radius at the back. Yeah, you know, that bit that I've done that sort of flows down. I left the original bit because that was my original tub and I extended it for the stretch. That sharp radius really annoys me. Like, I should have just continued it straight to the back and ended it square with the tailgate. I want to redo the trim. I already hate the trim, you know, because I learned, you know, whilst doing it, like, yeah, I've learned a lot more since then, and there's just things that I hate on it, like the colours and things. Like, I think I want to change it to, like, a dark green. Just change everything again.
Yeah. So is it more the colour or more that, you know, that was what you learnt on and you know what's wrong with it? No one else would pick it, I'm sure, but you know what's wrong with it.
I don't know. Probably both. Just knowing that I can do better now. And back then it was hard to kind of gauge colours and what they'd look like, you know, just from a little sample in a car as a whole. And I don't mind the dark brown, but it's just that light brown. It's too brown. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it needed to be something a bit more dusty or just a bit more subtle, I think. But I don't know. Look, it's in there now. I'll wear it out. And hopefully in 10 years' time or something, I'll pull it out and redo it.
Yep.
But at least, like, most of the fab work's done, so.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make that.
Yep. Yep. So how long have you had that truck now?
Well, it was my first car, so, 12 years.
That's a while.
But, I mean, it was fairly stock for a long time. Like, it was always my daily. Sorry, I've got to let this cat out. He's meowing. Yeah, it was my daily driver, so I couldn't really do much to it for a while. I did little things, you know, like put 20s on it, change the vinyl out for carpet, all those sort of things. It wasn't until about 2015, East Coast Cruise, that I, took it there bagged. That's when it kind of escalated.
Yep. Yep. It's always shows like that where the bug really bites and all of a sudden your truck's back at home, everything's stripped off it and it's getting cut up more, yeah?
Yeah, it bit pretty hard, yeah. Yep.
I remember, I don't remember if I told you the story, but I know the listeners have heard the story of the F100. It went to a show. It wasn't even a show-worthy car at all. But it was like a local wine, like vineyard or something like that. We took it in there, and I got a flat tire while I was in the show. So it was a bit of an effort to sort of change the – had to go home, pick up the spare wheel for it because that wasn't – why would you have that in a truck? That's just silly. changed the tire, took it home, and the tub came off that afternoon. Yeah, because of a flat tire that was fixed.
Yeah, I understand snowballs.
And that's where the snowball started, and it just kept on rolling, and the thing never saw the road again. So,
oh,
big sad, but yeah,
that's sad.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, these things happen though.
Yep. So that one's a keeper. Chaos is the keeper forever.
Yeah, but I'd never sell it. I don't think it's, I don't know, I guess it's a bit sentimental now being my first car.
Yeah.
And look, I built it to drive it. So, yeah, I've got no need to sell it or desire to sell it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess for anyone that doesn't know, obviously that is the current Street Machine of the Year.
Yeah, not for much longer, really. Went around fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what was it like sort of winning Street Machine of the Year? Did you expect to win that at all?
No, it was, crazy. I don't even know the words to describe it. But, I tried my hardest to try and win it, pushing on social media and whatnot, but I didn't think I'd actually get it. Like, I knew that if I didn't try, I'd just hate myself. Like, you got to try. And, it was a huge surprise. Still a bit hard to believe now, to be honest. It's behind me on the dinner table. So, the trophy.
That's awesome. So how does that process take place? Like, was that a nomination? Did somebody have to nominate you, or do you put yourself forward for that?
Yeah, so it had to be a feature during the year in Street Machine in the magazine, and then there's a board of people who pick who's nominated. But yeah, I think most of those that are nominated are cover cars.
Yep.
So yeah, to even be nominated, I think that's one out of, I don't know, I can't remember, was there 16? One out of four?
Yeah.
I think. Could be wrong, but yeah, it was pretty unlikely. So even to be nominated in itself was just crazy. I was so surprised.
Yep. So your truck was on the cover of Street Machine. How did that sort of come about?
It wasn't on the cover.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, just a feature.
It was featured. So how did that come about?
How did that come about? I think since the Laurie Starling Scholarship, I've sort of, I guess, been on their radar a little bit, and they've done a couple of articles of it during the build process, which is pretty cool. And then they just hit me up wanting to do a feature. Actually, I think it was at Summernat, so I was talking to Telfo. And, he mentioned that, they want to do a feature on it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Because of that, essentially, it could almost go right back to the Laurie Starling Award, yeah?
Yeah.
So, wow. Yep. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's done a lot for me winning that.
That is crazy. So with Street Machine of the Year, is there a prize that's handed out with that as well?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't need to go into what it is.
Yeah, 20 grand. It's a lot.
There's
still a bit left, but.
So how has that helped you out?
A lot. So the LS that was in it was really tired. It was burning a lot of oil, low on compression, whatnot. So, most of that money went to rebuilding the old engine that was in the truck. That cracked a piston originally. So the one that was in it, I just got off Marketplace for $1,500, back when they were fairly cheap. I think it was a ticking time bomb, really. I refreshed the engine with it, put power steering in, and
awesome.
There's still a little bit left, a bit scared to spend it. It's kind of nice. Something there is a bit of backup if I need it for the Stout or the Hilux,
Well, that's good. A year on, you've still got some of that money tucked away. That's good.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
No, that's really good. I know there was a little bit of controversy, obviously not on your end because you really couldn't care for it, but what were your thoughts on all of that sort of stuff that went down when someone was unhappy that you won it, essentially?
I don't know. It was all a bit silly, wasn't it? I don't know. I couldn't really do or say much. I didn't get involved. But, someone wasn't happy about me winning. It's not a Street Machine, apparently.
I don't know. It was in the magazine, was it not? And I guess that's probably the same person that would spew about, the Real Steel Porsche 911, We can't the street machine scene in Australia is changing, and you keep up with it at all? Don't bother.
Yeah. I don't know. I try not to care.
That was funny. So for anyone that doesn't know, it was essentially, we don't need to name names, but people throwing their toys out of the cot like children, purely because I don't think it was so much that you'd won, it was more that a Hilux won. Is that right?
Yeah.
doesn't matter that that Hilux has been built over the last 10 years prior to that, completely by your own hands. But, yeah, it was all a bit silly. So I know we got to see the trophy sort of cruising around in your passenger seat for a little while. When was the trophy officially presented or handed over to you?
At the street machine party, which is the Thursday night of the Summer Nats weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go up on stage and, yeah, they presented it to me officially there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had it beforehand.
I did.
How did that come about? Because essentially, was it, because it was Chad. Chad had it, right? It was Aaron, Chad, then yourself. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And so, Aaron before.
Yeah. So how did that happen? Was that like Chad goes, here you go, or did that have to go through Street Machine?
Yeah, so what they do is they surprise the person who's getting it. So, yeah, I was just at work one day and, yeah, my boss was talking to me for quite a while in the trim room, just trying to distract me, I guess. And, yeah, and I look behind and there's Telfer holding the trophy and, like, a film crew, and then look out the door and there's my family and all my friends. Like, everyone was sort of in on it and I had no idea. Yeah, it was crazy. It was good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, you know, they took all the photos, did that little interview for the YouTube thing. And yeah, then I had it for a little bit and, yeah, had to bring it with me to Summer Nuts to be presented officially.
Awesome. So what was that like for you? You know, like all of a sudden there's cameras and stuff.
I was actually shaking at one point. Like, I think I was lost for words. Like, it was, yeah, it was intense. I think, yeah, especially just turning around and just seeing, like, the friends, the family, even the, like, a puppy at the time was there. Like, it was just surreal, you know.
That's awesome. So did you have to kind of keep it under wraps?
I did, yeah. It did get out a little bit because, yeah, someone posted it on their story.
Oh, okay.
It didn't take long, but anyway, yeah. Okay. It was mostly wraps. I think truckers knew.
I guess for how long was it meant to be kept under wraps?
How long? I think it was a month, maybe a bit longer.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was hard, definitely. Like, yeah, I had to hide the trophy, you know, when people came over and.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Although most people do anyway, really. Yeah.
But... And it's not a small trophy either.
No, like, it's really not. Like it's on the kitchen table because I don't know where else to put it.
I can remember it sitting in your passenger seat like a passenger at East Coast Cruise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was taking it to a few shows, you know, at the start, and then it just sort of became a bit of a nuisance.
Yeah.
To try and get the car, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd imagine jumping in a passenger seat and you're going, here, hold this.
Yeah, much. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So we'll jump into your current project, which is the Stout.
Mm-hmm.
We did speak briefly about that in the last episode you're on as well. So I guess give us a rundown with that. What is it?
Okay, so it's a 1964 Toyota Stout. I've had it for, I think, it's like 8 years or something. Like, it's just sat in the paddock. Like, I've wanted to build one for a long time, but I've always said to myself, look, I've got to finish the one car first. So I had to finish the green one. Before I can even start on this one, because, you know, otherwise you got...
So now it's finished. Finished.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk. For now.
For now.
You know, because otherwise you got that many unfinished projects, like, on the go. Yeah. Like, yeah, I kind of had to finish one. So I've had plenty of time to think about this one. Like, so, yeah, it was only, I think it was May this year, I pulled it out of the paddock and put it in the shed and started stripping it down and Yeah, I've tried to allow one day a week, like just one day on the weekend to work on it. Which, yeah, just to keep it progressing. So yeah, I've started by doing the body drop to start with, which is, I don't know, I had to pick somewhere to start, and it kind of made sense at the time because I was originally going to get it on the road, just so that it was registered, and then start chopping it up. But the thing was that rusty, like it needed extensive repairs. It kind of made sense to body drop it, because it needed new sills and floor and everything like that. So yeah, started doing the body drop, and I'm sectioning the body as well. So it's a 40 millimeter body drop just to get the cab level with the bottom of the chassis, and then I'm sectioning through the body at the same time 100 mil, so it's 140 mil lower through like the bottom half of the car, and then I'm going to be roof chopping it as well, so that's roughly 100 mil. So I worked out it's about 40 odd mil out of the pillars. And then the top hat, because they've got quite a big sort of hat on the top. I'm going to make one that's a bit slimmer and doesn't have the gutter. Yeah, so pretty much what I've done is I took a photo of the side of one of the stouts in the paddock, because I've got a few like for parts. And then I put that into my Adobe Illustrator program. Drew the side profile just in a line drawing, and then just played with the proportions until I, got something. So it was all drawn to scale. So until I got something that I was happy with the look of, and that's where all my measurements are coming from. That's where the 100 mil section and the roof chop and everything are coming from.
So, where before you're even, I guess, lowering the suspension, and I'm assuming that's going to be airbags as well.
No, hydraulics.
Okay, hydraulics. So, either way, it's still going to be laid out on the ground.
Yeah.
But before you've done any of that, so that I guess the chassis modifications and lowering, you've actually essentially lowered the roof height of the thing 10 inches.
Yeah, well, I haven't done the roof yet. I've done, oh, well, yeah, like through the, yeah, I
The
have,
height
yeah.
itself, that's
So
crazy.
it's slowly working its way down.
That's crazy.
But the reason I didn't start with the chassis is because in the 3D design, I'm designing a rear clip, and that's taking quite some time to do. So whilst I'm doing that, on like a rainy day, like when the weather's really cold, yeah, I'm designing. I mean, I'm doing the cab at the same time. Yeah, it kind of made sense.
So I guess sectioning is cutting through the body, and then,
Yes.
and I guess if you were to look at the side of the car, you're kind of taking, excuse me, you're kind of taking height out of the door, I guess. Is that how?
Yeah. I think it can also be called sort of channeling. There's a few terms for it, but yeah, it's just taking literally, just like height out of the body. But yeah, I'm doing it at the same time as the body drop, because it, because then I only need one cut through the back of the wall of the cab. So I've just taken 140 mil out of that, dropped it down, and then yeah, I'm sectioning all the like lower pillar sections. I'm sectioning them at the time.
So to alleviate some of the height that you're losing in the cab, you're actually now building the floor and essentially dropping like the footwells down below the chassis, or not below the chassis, but in line with the chassis as well. Is that right?
Yeah, about 15 mil above the chassis, just so that the floor doesn't scrape on the ground. Yeah, well, I needed some leg room because, I'm okay, but Michael's, my partner's really tall, so I measured it and he will fit. So yeah, it's kind of like a channel body drop, like where you go around the chassis rails. Yeah, it'll just help with a bit of leg room. Might as well.
Absolutely. You're going to need it. 10 inches out of the height of the thing before you've dropped the suspension is a lot.
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah, but it'll look cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's cool. So I guess you're going hydros with it. The whole rear clip, what's happening with that? What's your plans for that?
So the plan is to design it in Fusion. So at the moment, I've got the four link. Oh, it's actually like a wishbone upper. all drawn up. So I know, like, you know, if anything's going to bind, and so pretty much I'm going to draw all my brackets and whatnot from that, and then flatten everything, get it all CNC plased, and then just assemble it. It'll have, you know, all the reference points and interlocking gussets and whatnot. That's the plan anyway. It's just, yeah, it's, yeah, a bit tricky for me to learn. Like, it's a huge leap up from what I've been doing so far. So
absolutely. And again, this is yourself teaching yourself how to do this stuff?
Yeah, so I haven't really played with, like, joints and, like, putting things in motion much. So that's sort of where I'm finding it really tricky, just making everything work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been able to, like, sort of reach out to people who play around with that a fair bit at all, or are you just teaching yourself?
I don't know too many, but, I mean, I spoke to Ching, you know, Disguise Customs a little bit. He's helpful. But, yeah, there's pretty much tutorials for anything. Like, get stuck on something, just, yeah, Google it.
YouTube.
There's always an answer.
That's awesome. So the plans for it motor-wise, like motor and driveline, what's your plan
okay.
there?
Okay. So I've just pulled a 302 out of a NF Fairlane. I picked it up around the corner really cheap and drove it home. Like, I don't know. They're pretty ugly. Like, it was just a cheap V8. I just wanted, you know, something that I can do something with. And, yeah, it was just turned up on Marketplace. So, yeah, pulled that out of the donor car a few weeks ago. And that's just sort of sitting in, mocked up on blocks at the moment. So because the cab's sort of in bits at the moment, I kind of need to make that structurally sound before I can mount the engine properly. Like, I've got to pull the cab off to do the Z notch before I can actually mount the engine. So that's why at the moment I've pulled the floor out of it, and I'm doing all the floor. I've got to do the tunnel and the firewall with everything just mocked in, with the engine mocked up into place. And then I'll pull that out once it's all structurally sound again.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's unreal. It's an unsuspecting motor, I guess. Nobody kind of looks at those anymore, do they?
No, I don't know. I guess not. I don't know. As I said, it was just cheap. Yeah. I should be able to do something cool with it, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've taken the really cool looking manifold off the top of it.
Yeah. Oh, that went straight in the bin. Well, it's actually not. I just put it in the bin for a video. It's sitting in the parts car. But yeah, they're so ugly, aren't they? Those EFI setups.
Yeah,
I want to keep it EFI just for easy starting. And I'll keep the trans that's in it, I forgot what it's called now. BTR trans. Yep. So yeah, I'll try and get a system to run that. Not sure what yet, but yeah, I wanted to run a throttle body that looks nice, and I got down the path of just looking at ITBs, and pretty much you can buy them for the Windsors, but they're really dear. They're like $5,000 or $6,000 pretty much, and I can't afford that. So I looked into it a bit more, and I found BMW M5 independent throttle bodies. So yeah, I got some of those, and they actually look like they'll work really well. So the plan is to borrow the 3D scanner from work, scan the top of the engine, and then 3D design a manifold, mock it up, like test print it on the printer, and then depending on how much it costs, get it CNC'd. But yeah,
so
that's the plan anyway.
You could potentially be looking at the same money anyway.
Maybe, but it will
probably
look cool.
Not. Yeah, and and you've designed it and made it essentially, which is cool too.
Yeah, look, either that or you can get 3D printed filaments that hold up in manifolds now, so I can look into that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I might need to modify my printer to be able to run it. That's all.
So what kind of printer do you have for the 3D printing nerds out there, if there are any? What kind of printer are you running?
So it's a Snapmaker. What's it called now? Snapmaker 350. So it's sort of a 3-in-1 printer. It does the printing and the you can do CNC, like CNC milling.
Yep.
Which I haven't really used. I can't really find a need for that one. So you can just like carve out wood, but it's only 300 by 300 wide, so it's not really practical in its size. but it can also do laser engraving, like etching. So, which is handy. I've used it before on leather, so I can just put, you know, designs into leather, logos and stuff, which is kind of handy.
Yeah, that's cool.
But as an actual printer, it's, oh, I don't know, it's just frustrating. Like, because it can do everything, it's not really good at one thing.
Yeah.
And I've recently just got a cheap Ender, which is, you know, just the cheap one everyone uses, and it's actually really good.
Yeah, right.
So I've got that running at the moment, doing a print for one of my trim jobs.
That's the one that'll be running for a month, or?
No, that one's at work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So have you gone right down the 3D printing sort of rabbit hole and nerded right out on it?
No, I haven't printed anything weird. Like, you know. I don't know. It's just always, running. Like, I'm always, like, I don't know, the way I think about things now is, I guess, different, because I'm, like, instead of making something, I can just design it and print it. Like, it's just kind of easier.
Yeah, cool. We'll jump over. We'll get into some random hypothetical questions.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you've looked at any of these yet.
I had a glance and they weren't easy.
Awesome. I picked the right ones in. So if you could party with five famous people, past or present, who would they be?
This is probably the worst one. I don't even know. I don't really party anymore. Like a group of people?
Oh, all right, let's just say if you could have sit down and have dinner with five famous people, past or present, who would they be?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. I don't know. Can we skip that one?
Pass. Okay. if you're a dictator, what would your first outrageous act be?
Make engineering laws easier. I don't know if that's outrageous.
I mean, I'm sure everybody's agreeing with you.
Not like so lenient that you can have absolute, you know, shit heaps on the road, but just not no stupid things, you know, like just make it easier for people like us.
Make it sensible.
Or the other thing I was thinking of was just ban all crackheads.
Yeah.
All of them. I don't know where to put them, but
just find an island somewhere and just put them there.
Yeah.
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 That's a good one. you sold your soul to the devil. What did you sell it for?
Oh, gosh. What even is a soul? Do you need a soul?
I think it's a thing that the automatic doors recognize and open and close for you.
That'd be kind of inconvenient, wouldn't it, without
it? Yeah, so, I mean, doors wouldn't open for you, but...
Okay, well, other than that, at the moment, probably sell it to buy concrete for the shed. Working on dirt is not fun. Everything's so dusty.
That's a pretty good one. How do you manage? Because I worked in a dirt driveway for a while, and I honestly sold, like, I had a motorcycle that I sold to give myself a driveway. And as sad as I was to see that motorcycle go, I'd rather have the driveway than the motorcycle.
Yeah. Look, I've actually got the plastic for sale sign for the house. That's the thing, like, on the ground that I kneel on, because it's better than laying on dirt. But, look, the only benefit is that I don't have to sweep up, probably. Like, the rust just kind of blends in. All the stuff falls out of the ground. Like,
there's no point sweeping because you're just finding more dirt.
Yeah, but I keep losing things like drill bits and clinkos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess that's something that's also happened. You bought a place since the last time we spoke as well, yeah?
Yeah, I think it was since we last spoke. Yeah, yep. We finally found a place. Gee, it took a long time. Like, we were looking for somewhere with a shed and it was just non-existent, you know, just so that Michael could work, you know, straight up from the start. But we found somewhere with, like, a little shed, and, yeah, Michael's done most of it himself. He's actually extended the shed. So, yeah, it's quite big. I'm not sure how big it is exactly, but, yeah, it's a good size now. We just need concrete and a hoist.
Necessities.
Yeah. just to make life easier.
Awesome. So throw that in. Throw the hoist in with your soul. You get concrete, okay. Concrete and a hoist.
Might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Awesome. Would you rather forget who you were or who everyone else was?
That was a tricky one. Like if you forget who you were, do you forget who everyone else is as well? Because, like, the memories you've spent with those people are forgotten because you don't remember yourself.
Oh, you thought you went deep into this one. I don't know. Damn it, you got me now. All right, let's pass. I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, I'll pass too, thanks.
What would you do if you found out you only had 24 hours left to live?
Probably do something I enjoy. Like, I haven't ridden my dirt bike in a long time, so just ride that until I die or do something really dangerous. It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
Little stunt. I don't know.
So you've still got your dirt bike?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So it's still at the farm. Like, well, I've got the two-stroke, the CR, at the farm, and the XR, which is registered, which I ride in summer. But, yeah, we've just been so busy lately, we just haven't been able to ride, and I don't really want to sell it unless I really have to. Like, I know I'd regret it.
But, yeah, don't.
Yeah, I want to ride more, but it's just time.
If you don't need to sell it, this is advice from experience. If you don't need to sell it, don't sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't really need the money and it's not kind of owing you anything sitting there, just don't sell it.
Yeah, it's not. I did get it cheap, so yeah.
All right, you have entrance music every time you enter a room. What song is it? But it's the same song every time.
I actually did think about this one. Apparently this is my song now, according to one of my friends, but Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic. I don't think it suits me, but, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's got good energy, you know?
I like it, that's good.
It really doesn't suit me, but anyway.
That'd be hilarious. You imagine, like, sitting in the presentation room at ECC or something like that, and all of a sudden that music starts playing and everyone looks at the door like, who the hell's coming? And Jazzy walks through the door.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like it. We have questions from past guests.
Okay.
Coming from Jordan Bennett, best advice for someone wanting to create a car?
Okay. Probably try and spend time thinking about what you want to do so that you don't do things 10 times over like I did with my Hilux. Just make a plan and try and stick to it loosely. And I guess, don't be afraid to chop anything up. Like, that's the good thing about starting with cheap cars and mini trucks and stuff like that. Like, you chop it up, you stuff it up, it doesn't matter. Like, it's only metal. Like, you can get another body or whatever. Just have a go, pretty much.
Nice. I guess, obviously, that's something you've learnt from building your Hilux.
Yeah.
At the same time, I imagine it's much different now with the Stout. One, you've learned all those lessons, but two, you're not trying to keep the Stout on the road the whole time. You're working on it as well.
Yeah. And that made it so hard. I love driving it so much that, it hurt every time I had to pull it off the road,
Yeah.
So at least I've got the green one to drive and enjoy, and my daily as well. Like, while I build this one, I don't really need to drive it. Yeah. And I think build is as enjoyable, really.
Yeah, that's really cool. Coming from Jack Martin, what is your favorite sounding engine per cylinder? So we don't have to go right through the whole range, but does that question make sense to you, or do I need to explain more?
Per
cylinder count. So like a four cylinder. Yeah, what's your favorite four cylinder? What's your favorite 5, 6, 7, 8? So on and so forth.
So, oh gosh.
We don't have to go right through the whole list. We'll pick three. I'll let you pick three of them, I guess.
Can I go a one cylinder?
Yeah, sure.
Two stroke.
I agree.
Yeah. Four, six. I can't think. Oh, six probably a 1J, 2J. Go eight probably. I don't know. Maybe it's not like a 5 liter. They sound all right, I guess.
Like the old Holden injected 5 liters. Yep.
Yeah, 304. Yeah, go with that. There's plenty out there that sound good.
It's a very specific question.
It is.
I couldn't answer all through the whole range myself, and I definitely couldn't name, like, you know, like engine codes all the way through.
Yeah.
I'd have to start going, oh, this car, like, so yeah. it's a tough one.
Oh, the rotor's another one.
Yeah. It doesn't really have cylinders, so.
Not really.
Yeah. Coming from Brendan Carroll of Car Builders, skateboarding or BMX?
I was always so uncoordinated on the skateboard, so BMX definitely.
Nice.
I used to go to the skate park, and I never had my own, but I used to ride other people's.
Yep.
And I did want to get into it at one stage, but then I found motorbikes instead. Yeah.
Yeah, that became a problem for me. I found out I could still ride bikes without pedaling.
Yeah, so much better. Faster too.
Yep. nice. Coming from Brendan Totherow, if you could build any car engine combo, what would it be?
Car engine.
So I guess any car.
Yeah. I got to say a 59 Caddy. Ooh. Convertible. Yeah.
Very nice.
They're so cool. I love 59 is like the best year for car styling. Like, they're so cool.
Yep.
Just the way everything flows from front to back. But they're really dear.
Yes. Yes, they are. And coming from Luke Viersma, what is your inspiration when it comes to your passion?
Inspiration? I don't know, when I'm building something, I set a deadline to try and achieve, and that's usually East Coast Cruise or like one of the mini truck shows. So that definitely helps. That's probably more motivation. Inspiration, I guess stuff I see and wanting to have a go at things and try and improve my own skills. Just being creative with it.
Yep.
That's what makes it fun, the creativity side of things.
Nice. It is now your turn to give us a question for future guests.
Okay. Does it have to be car related?
No. No.
Oh, yeah. All right. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Nice. That's mad. You know what? When I started, because I borrowed this section and kind of tweaked it a bit to a point where I liked it a bit better, the idea of it. When I started it, the kind of questions I had in mind were things like, you know, do you keep your sauce in the fridge or the cupboard? Just weird questions like that. So that's a really cool question. I really like that.
Okay, cool. It'll be interesting to hear some answers from that one.
What's your favorite dinosaur? So, with that said, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, I got to say Velociraptor.
Nice.
They're pretty cool.
Nice. I always liked the Ankylosaurus or Ankylosaurus.
Different one.
Yeah, the stubby little guys with the little legs and the big club tail.
Yep. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs are pretty cool.
That's mad. And my daughter is dinosaur mad, so she'd love that question too.
Okay.
That's heaps good. As we wrap up, Jazzy, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anyone that you'd like to acknowledge?
I'd probably give a shout out to my partner, Michael. He runs Wazzas Fabrication from the shed at home. And yeah, he's doing good work, really good work. He's trying to, you know, constantly try new things and grow, as well as, fabrication. He's really good at the chassis building side of things. So, And yeah, I'll probably take this opportunity to shout out everyone that voted for me in the Smotty. Like, I won't really be able to thank everyone, properly. So yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. That's appreciate awesome. It. Massive. I know it's well overdue and well past date, but a massive congratulations on that. It was really cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
It was really, really cool. So let everybody know where they can find you.
So Facebook, I mean, I kind of just post things that I post on, you know, Instagram, then it goes to Facebook, but my personal Insta is JazzyGreen5, like JazzyGreen5, JazzyGreen1. It's one of the two.
It'll be in the show notes. It's fine.
It's one of the two. But the stout one I should probably mention, which is 64stout, so 6_4_stout. And it's actually doing quite well. I've kept posting reels and things of like little time lapses of things that I'm doing. So yeah, if you want to follow the stout, jump onto that. And then the YouTube, which I'm trying to push. So I'm trying to push the Instagram to push the YouTube so that hopefully I can monetize and then maybe I can make some money. So the YouTube's Chaos Design. So KHAOS Design. And yeah, I've been posting build videos of the stout on there.
Awesome. So is that like vlog style stuff or is it just like the time lapses that you've been doing?
No, it's more of a time lapse. Look, I don't like talking on camera and I tried to do it. So I've only got one episode out at the moment and I tried to do it there. It was pretty awkward and it's so weird editing myself. Like I say a lot and I'm really conscious of it.
There it is again. I can tell you, I can tell you from experience, it is horrendous trying to edit yourself.
It is absolutely weird. It's so weird. But I felt like what I was doing needed an explanation with the body drop and the section and everything like that. So I kind of had to, but yeah, it's just weird. I'll try and do less of it in the next video.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Jazzy. It's been awesome.
No worries. Yeah, it's good to be back on.
And hopefully we'll get to catch up again shortly.
Yeah, hopefully. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to have you tune in again next week. Don't forget to head over and follow Gutter to Gutter on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok by searching for Gutter to Gutter Podcast. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Gutter to Gutter Podcast, and be sure to check out our new website at guttertogutterpodcast.com. I'd really appreciate it if you could share the podcast with a friend and even consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. I look forward to bringing you more next week, so please have a great week and look after each other.